we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Right. Praise God. We're excited. Next week, we're going to be starting off our new sermon series about first love. But today, we're talking about Lego Church. Yeah. Amen. Welcome to Redemption Church. I'm glad to see you all in the house of God. My name is Marshall Blessing. I'm the care pastor here. And today is a wonderful day.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Today is a wonderful day to be part of a Lego Church.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So, this is the last week of our Lego Church sermon series. We spent the past 4 weeks talking about Legos. Legos have increased in popularity over the years. And some Lego sets and pieces have actually become valuable collector's items. A recent study found that over the past 15 years, collectible Lego sets have actually increased in value more than gold.
Oh, wow.
So Lego was a better investment than the stock market,
yeah,
than precious metals, than gold.
Yeah.
You were better off investing in, not investing in Lego stock, but just buying Lego sets.
Yeah.
So I thought I would start this week with a quick game of Lego Neiman Marcus.
Oh,
all right. We love that game. If you're not familiar, the Neiman Marcus game, it was created by Pastor Chris. He and his family would go to Neiman Marcus, the store, and they would pick out a particular item, that t-shirt, those shoes, that handbag, and they'd try to guess how much it cost. And then they'd go and be stupefied at the actual price of that item. So, I'm going to show you some Lego minifigures. These are little Lego men, and I want you to try to guess how much they are worth.
All right.
All right? So, can we bring these up on screen? The first one is the Yoda New York I Love minifig. If you notice this shirt, it's backwards. Usually it's I Heart New York, but Yoda speaks backwards. His New York I Love. All right. This is an actual Lego. Thank you. All glory to God. That's a Lego minifigure that is available in the world today. But how much do you think it would cost you if you went out on eBay and tried to buy this guy?
$2,000.
$2,000. That's a little bit high, but you're thinking in the right direction.
$70.
$70. That's good. That's a good thought. How much? Anybody else with a guess? A dollar. You wish.
$340
for this guy. He's a piece of plastic this big, all right? Actually, in 2013, so he's only 3 years old, Toys R Us had an event in Times Square where they gave out 1,000 of these guys. So there's only 1,000 in circulation. They're a Toys R Us exclusive, and so now, if you want to try and find one, it'll cost you about $340 to buy one. Okay, next, there's a little figure called Mr. Gold.
Oh, Mr. Gold.
Mr. Gold. He sounds kind of like a Bond villain or something, but he's not actually made of gold. He's just like gold-plated, kind of yellow chrome. How much do you think Mr. Gold is worth?
$70. $70.
I hear $70. Can I get... 71 and 71, 70, 100, 100. Anybody else?
580.
You're doing good. Right direction. 400. Would you believe that Mr. Gold is currently selling for around $2,500? Again, a piece of plastic this big, who looks like a well-dressed man made of gold. $2,500. Again, he was part of a set that was released in 2013. So these aren't like old, ancient, antique Legos. 2013, he was part of a minifigures series. And in that series, only 5,000 Mr. Gold figures were released. And he's kind of become the mascot for the series. And so he's a very popular figure. $2,500. Wow. All right? Well, now, let's move on. Next, we have Boba Fett from Star Wars. So Star Wars is already pretty popular. We saw that with Yoda. Whoa. Now, this one is actually made of gold. It's solid 14-karat gold. It's about this much gold, but it's gold, all right? Boba Fett, solid gold.
Does he have a little rocket booster?
I don't think he has his backpack. He's just the figure. Yeah, if you see on there, it says one of two. That might give you a hint.
$15,000.
Oh, that's good. All right. We're in the ballpark. It's actually $11,000.
Wow.
$11,500.
Wow.
So you could get a car or you could get this gold Boba Fett Lego figure. All right. There's two in existence. They were released back in 2010 at two different comic conventions. They raffled them off. Okay, so we got one more here to take a look at. This is actually a set of three. So they don't come individual. You got to get the whole set. So take that into your calculations. So going from left to right, this is Jupiter. Yeah. No, this is the Roman god Jupiter. His wife Juno, not Ellen Page, and then Galileo there on the right, okay? These are made of aluminum. They're solid aluminum, but they're still just the little Lego figure size. These three figures, how much do you think they're worth?
6,000.
We got 6,000.
25,000.
10,000.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Anybody? 20,000. Would you believe that these three figures together are estimated to be worth $2,090,000,000? Mind blown. How is that even possible? Well, I'll tell you how that's possible. This is how they came up with that number. These three figures are currently on their way to Jupiter on NASA's Juno spacecraft. That explains why one figure's Jupiter, why one is Juno, and Galileo, who saw the planets, who discovered Jupiter. All right. So if you wanted to go retrieve them, you would have to spend about $2,090,000,000. So that's how they figured. The Juno mission is currently on its way to Jupiter. It's going to reach Jupiter in July of this year. It's going to orbit for a year and then crash land into Jupiter. It's a controlled crash. So that's where they're at. If you want to go get them, my birthday, you got a couple months. So, you can work on it. All right. Lego can be valuable. You are valuable. You are valuable to God. In the previous weeks of this series, we've talked about how we are built to build. We are made to connect with each other and with God. Lego bricks are made to connect with each other. We are made to connect with each other. In order to build something that will last, we need to build on a solid foundation. And there is no more solid foundation than God. God should be our foundation. Amen. Once we start building on this foundation, we need to keep building. Don't give up. Keep building. Building takes time and effort. But if you keep going, if you persevere, God will provide the building materials. He'll provide the resources. He'll provide what you need. We were built for a purpose. We were built to create. Creation, creating, being creative is a spiritual activity. You have unique talents and abilities, and God wants you to use them. He wants you to be creative. And we need to connect because sometimes we can be the missing piece that other people need to help finish this thing that they're creating. Sometimes other people are the missing piece that we need. We work together in this. So we need to connect with one another. That kind of brings us up to speed. This week, we are talking about what the Lego church is built with. Now, this seems pretty easy. The Lego church is built with Legos. Right? Makes sense. The Lego church is built out of Legos. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. You are the living stones. We are the Legos. We are the members that make up the body of Christ. We are the parts that make up this church. Really, now, if you think about it, really lots of things can be built out of these living stones. Lots of things can be built out of people. Not in a creepy way. Businesses. Clubs. Different organizations. Sports teams. Families. Political parties. Nations. In a way, all these are built out of people. But only one will endure. Only one thing is built on a foundation that will last forever. Only one is built on God's chief cornerstone. That one structure that will last forever is the church. Out of all the things you could build out of these living stones, the church is the one that will last, that will endure. But there is another important difference between the church and any other group of people. Anything else built out of these living stones. And that difference is in the choice of building materials. Earlier we played the Neiman Marcus game. I have one more Lego piece that I'm going to show you, and I would like you to guess its value. All right, how much do you think this Lego is worth? There it is right there. In fact, I brought it with me this week. It's right here. Yeah, how much do you think this Lego piece is worth? I can almost guarantee you it's one of a kind. All right. Could I get $100 for it? Anybody? 50? Maybe? Could I get $1 for this piece? How much is a regular 2x4 Lego stud worth? A regular old Lego block. Not very much. They have a value. You can go to the Lego store and buy one. This one's probably worth less than that, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's broken. Well, during the first week of this series, Chris discussed some of our common experiences with Lego. If you had Legos when you were a kid, you probably had a big bucket that they all went into. And when you wanted to build something, you had to dig through it and find the pieces you need and you built what you're doing. If you had Legos as a kid, you at some point probably stepped on one, right? You know what that feels like?
Yeah.
Or your parents did. And if you have kids that have Legos, then you at some point have probably stepped on one, all right? Well, at some point in your life, you have probably encountered a broken Lego. It happens. Things break. These are just made of plastic. They break. They make long, thin ones that are pretty easy to snap or get bent sometimes. Or there's the hinged ones. Those were always my favorite because they moved. But if you bend them too much the wrong way, they snap off and don't work anymore. When I was a kid, I remember always finding a lot of those little mini figures, those little Lego men that didn't have a head. And they just had that weird peg. Like, that was always sort of creepy. Or they were missing a hand. Maybe if you had pets, maybe your dog got a hold of some of your Legos and, like, chewed them up. Or a younger sibling. Sometimes that can end up pretty much the same. They get run over and crushed. Or maybe you built a fort out of them and blew them up with fireworks. Or maybe that's just me. Anyway, Legos get broken. And kids playing with Legos usually don't like to use the broken pieces. They don't look right. They don't connect right. So usually they get thrown away. Because when they're broken, they don't do what they're supposed to do. They're not really good for anything anymore. They've lost their value as a Lego piece. We often do the same thing with people. We don't value people who don't look right, who don't act right, who have problems. We don't value people who are broken. Too often we are willing to throw them away. God values things differently. God values broken pieces. Now, the value of something is ultimately determined by what someone is willing to pay for it. You can say this is worth whatever you want, but you won't really bear that out until you get someone to pay that amount for this thing. The three aluminum Lego pieces, they're estimated to be worth $2 billion, but they're not really worth that until somebody shells out the money to get them. Well, the value of something is determined ultimately by what someone is willing to pay for it. All right? You may see a broken person. Jesus was willing to die for that person. God paid for that person with the blood of his only son. To God, that person is more valuable than you could ever measure. You may see a broken person. God values them more than we could ever express. God doesn't throw away broken pieces. God sees value in broken pieces. Nowadays, we buy the cheapest things we can. We shop around. We try to find good deals. How can I get the best price on this? What's the cheapest price I can get this for? And then when it breaks, it was cheap. We just throw it away and go get another one because it's cheap. We don't worry about trying to repair it because we can just throw it away and get a new one. But then we apply that mentality to other areas of our life. Maybe a job. I got this job, but man, it's really not going anywhere. It's kind of a drag. I don't like my boss. I'm going to have to look for a different job. This isn't working out. I need to do something different. Maybe a hobby. Hey, weren't you learning to play piano? Yeah, I was, but I wasn't getting any better, so I put on Netflix and didn't care about it anymore. You know, we throw it away. Maybe a diet. You started out the year. I'm gonna get right. I'm gonna start eating right, get healthy. I'm gonna start exercising. A couple days into the year, it's not working. I don't know. I don't really see that results, and I like to sleep in. Whatever, throw it away. I'll try something different. I heard if I only eat grapefruit for days ending in Y, then I'll lose a bunch of weight. No, I mean, we try what's quick and easy and cheap and then throw it away. Same with our goals. A lot of times the goals that we set, when they don't work out or they don't work out the way we thought they were supposed to, we just toss them out. And even worse, relationships. We get into relationships with people. Oh, it's not working out. You know, it started out great, but then, you know, they weren't the person I thought they were. It's not what I thought it would be. I'm going to find somebody else. Man, so many marriages have been thrown away because they ran into a rough patch and thought it was broken. And thought, I might as well just start over. Rather than trying to repair what they had right there. We're quick to throw things away if we think that they're broken. Take a lesson from Jesus. After he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he had the disciples go and collect the leftovers. Matthew 14, chapter 14, verse 20. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. And then, in the next chapter of Matthew, he did it again. He feeds over 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few fish. Matthew 15, verse 37. They all ate and were satisfied, and afterwards the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Now, a lot of times you might think, these are leftovers. These are like the broken pieces. These are junk. Throw it away. No. Some scholars suggest the disciples lived. This were basketfuls of food. The disciples had this to eat for several days. There's value there. What's better? 5 loaves and 2 fish or 12 baskets full? What's better? 7 loaves or 7 large baskets full of the pieces? There's value in the fragments. There's value in the pieces. Don't be quick to throw things away. God can do more with broken pieces than we could do with the whole parts. So if you got broken pieces of something, don't throw them away. Turn them over to God. Let's see what he can do with it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Don't be quick to throw things away. There's value in those broken pieces. There's value in those fragments. In fact, God builds with broken pieces. God doesn't throw people away. Neither should we. God builds with broken pieces. I told you there was another difference between the church and other structures built out of people, out of these living stones. Most of the time, when we're building a group, when we're hiring employees or we're assembling a team, we want to select the best people available. We don't want broken pieces. We'll take them if we have to, but we pick the best living stones, the best Lego pieces we can get. When we're building our team, we want to find the best. That's not exactly how God does it. God already knows the spiritual house that he is building will last forever because it is built on a foundation that will last forever, and he's building it. So God doesn't have to find the best living stones. God chooses to build with broken pieces because he can. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 27, Paul says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." God is glorified when he does things that only God can do. God chooses the weak and the despised and the broken because he can build them into something magnificent. Only he can take these broken pieces that the world rejects and build them into something that's better than the world could ever produce. Amen. God builds with broken pieces. As an example, we can look at the temple. Now, the original temple was built by Solomon. It was built during King Solomon's reign, but the pieces were collected by King David. And it says that when they were cutting the stones, they measured them and cut them perfectly away from Jerusalem, so that when they were brought to Jerusalem, they could be assembled without any tools. So there wasn't the sound of construction as the temple was being assembled. These were perfect stones. They just slid right into place. They assembled the temple. They covered it in gold. It was beautiful. Well, in a way, that sort of mimics us, mankind. Mankind was created without sin, in sort of a perfect condition. But then, sin came into the world. And it broke everything. Well, the Israelites fell into idolatry. They stopped doing the things that God commanded them to do. And they were taken away into captivity. And this temple was torn down. Well, then, the second temple wasn't built out of perfect materials. It was built by a bunch of people who had just returned from exile. It was built by people who were surrounded by their enemies and had to keep one hand on their sword while they were building. This isn't the recipe for a perfect, beautiful, exact temple. But the fact that it got built was a testament to God. It shouldn't have existed. They shouldn't have been able to build it, but they did. It wasn't perfect, but it glorified God because God made that happen. It showed the incredible things that God can do. Well, then God did something new. God came to earth as a man, as a living stone, and he became the cornerstone of a new temple. Let's look again at our memory verse for the month. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So that cornerstone was rejected by men. The beginning of this thing. And then, if another way to translate that spiritual house, some translations say it's the temple of the Spirit. You also, like living stones, are being built into a temple. God is building his followers, his church, into a new temple that is better than the first. Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. But he's not building with perfect building materials. Look at who Jesus called, even during his earthly ministry. Fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, lepers, the blind, the lame, sinners. From the beginning, Jesus started building this new temple out of broken pieces. When you were a kid, did you ever try to build something using all of your Legos? You got them all out, tried to build something just to see how big it would be? Yeah, all right, I got a couple nods. I did. It's fun. Well, God wants to use every single living stone in the kingdom that he is building, in this temple that he is building. God doesn't want anyone to perish. The Bible tells us, God does not want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to be a part of his temple, his kingdom, including the broken pieces. In the first week of this series, we told you that you are created to connect. and you are built to build. Legos are made to connect with one another. You were created to connect with people. Well, today I want to tell you, you are expected to connect. You are called to connect. That's how we were made. You were made to connect, and so you are expected to connect with God and with other people, even broken people. When you first connect with God, when you first become a part of this spiritual house that He is building, you become a connection point for others. Those connection points you have become a way for others to connect to the church and to connect to God. God wants to connect to everyone. When you connect with Him, He allows others to connect through you. Now, for some, it can be tempting to bury yourself in church and to only connect with other church people. But for those of you in this room, for those of you hearing this message, I don't believe that God is calling us to that. If we're not connected to the outside world, then we're not helping to build His kingdom. You can get really tied into church, and that's great. You can go to every church activity, and it can consume your time. And the only friends you have are other people at church. But you need to be connected to other people as well. If you're not connected to the outside world, then you're not providing any connection points for others to get connected to God. We are called to connect. The third thing that we encourage everyone to do when we leave here, throughout your week, we encourage you to connect other people to the love of Jesus. It's really hard to do that if you don't connect with other people. After Jesus heals the man who was possessed with the legion of demons, that man begs to go with Jesus. Jesus is getting in the boat, and the man says, "Please, let me come with you." But Jesus tells him to go to his hometown and tell them what God has done for him. Jesus sends him to connect with his hometown and to connect them with this miracle that God has performed in his life. Just before he ascends to heaven, Jesus tells his followers, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." That's part of what's known as the Great Commission. It's right there. Jesus sends them to connect others to God. And that's our commission as well. That's our mission. You connect others to God by first connecting with them. As I said, it's really hard to connect people to God's love if you're not connected with them to begin with. Now, let me be clear. I'm not calling anyone here to evangelize. I'm not calling you to get out there and, "Are you saved, brother? Do you know where you're going to go when you die?" No. I'm calling you to connect, to make friends, to love people. Praise God. We are called to connect. Be a part of other people's lives. It's real easy sometimes to just kind of slide by. As we said in the first week, blocks stack. The thing about Legos is that they connect. We don't always want to. We don't always feel like we have time. But take some time. Connect with people. Get to know people and allow them to get to know you. We were built to connect. We need to connect with others. Don't be picky about the people with whom you connect. Connect to people that God puts in your life. Family, coworkers, friends. Those seem obvious. But at times, we can have family members or friends, Facebook friends or people we see every day that we've never really gotten to know, that we've never really connected with. Take time, connect with them. Connect with other people that God puts in your life. Grocery store clerks, your fellow students. If you're always getting the same waiter or waitress at your favorite restaurant, take time, connect with them, get to know them. This is important. God wants to connect with them. Every person you meet, God wants to be connected to them. And you may be the perfect piece to make that connection happen. You have talents and abilities and interests. You can use those to connect with people. Again, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says in chapter 9, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. All right? Do you get what he's saying here? He's not saying that you should put on a facade and be a fake person. Oh, hello. What are you interested in? Crocheting? What do you know? I love crocheting. Hey, hey, buddy, what do you like? What are you into? Oh, taxidermy? I love taxidermy too. No, we're not supposed to be artificial like that. And he's definitely not saying that you have to get into sinful things in order to try to connect to sinners. Well, I don't normally rob banks, but, you know, I will be all things to all men to try and win a few. I don't usually do drugs, but, you know, I'm going to try and win this guy. All right, let's go. No, please. Please, no. That is not what he is saying. He's saying he's willing to use every aspect of who he is in order to try to connect with as many people as possible. Oh, you're Jewish? I was raised a Jew. We should be friends. Hey, tell me about it. Let's talk. Oh, you're not Jewish? You're not under the law? I'm not under the law. Hey, well, I'd like to get to know you. Oh, you're weak? Well, I'm weak. Hey, let's talk about it. You're a tent maker? You know what? I make tents. Hey, let's be friends. Every part of who we are, every characteristic is a potential connection point. If you look at it this way, our past isn't a list of events or a list of successes and failures. It's a list of connection points. It's a list of potential shared experiences that we can use to get to know other people. Oh, hey, I found something in common. Let's talk. Let's be friends. Let's see where this goes. I'd like to connect with you. We are called to connect. Again, this is really important. I can't stress how much God wants to connect with all people. It's like the parable of the great banquet. This man held a big banquet. He invited some people, and they said they couldn't come. So he sent out his servants and said, go, find people. I want this banquet filled. So they went, and they found some people. But then there were still empty seats. Well, there's more room here. We can fit more living stones into this structure. Go out. Find people. Search everywhere. Don't turn anybody away. Search the highways and the byways. Search the dark corners. Bring them in. We want to connect with people. Here at Redemption Church, we put a big emphasis on connection. We have connect groups to try to make it easier to connect. We try to do life together. But it's not just for us to be connected to one another. That's very important. We want to be connected with you. But we also want to connect with your friends, with new people. And we want to provide opportunities, easy ways for you to invite them in to get connected. We'd love to get to know them. Part of our guiding principles, we want to be welcoming. So when people come in, they feel like it's easy to connect. That's not always common. Surprisingly enough, this world is not a welcoming place. At times, other churches aren't always welcoming places. We want to be. We want to make sure people are welcome here. We would love to have you here. We are glad that you are here. I had a sort of surprising experience this past week. There was a gentleman who came. He was a visitor. He was actually looking for help. He had fallen on some hard times. He saw that we were at church, we were having service, and he thought, hey, they might be able to help me. So he came in. He was polite and very quiet and kept to himself and just said, hey, I need some help. I thought you guys might be able to help me. And kind of stayed off to the back while we had service. And I told him, service is just about to start. If you can stick around, we'll be glad to help you. We're glad you're here. We'll be glad to try and figure out how we can help you after service. So he hung around. People tried to kind of talk to him, but he was a little bit standoffish. We helped him out. We did what we could for him. And then, as I was parting ways with him, I said to him, hey, I'm glad I got to know you. I'm glad you came to our church on Sunday afternoon. If you're still in town next Sunday and you're not doing anything in the afternoon, we'd be glad to see you again. I'd like to invite you to come back. And he paused and he looked at me with sort of a confused look and he said, y'all would like to see me again? Yeah. People don't get that. But God loves them. We love them. We'd love to see them again and again. Your friends, we'd love to meet them. Not just to grow the church, to build numbers or whatever. No. We would like to show them God's love. We love them because He loves them. Hey. We've got a ministry. People aren't always easy to connect with. But we're called to connect. We try to do what we can. We have a ministry here at a local Alzheimer's care facility. We go there every other week and sing some worship songs with them and hang out with them, pray with them, talk to them a little bit, spend some time. We love those folks. But man, it can be really hard to connect with someone that has Alzheimer's. They're kind of like a Lego that doesn't really grip the other Lego piece. Sometimes they get loose, and when you try to pick it up, they just fall right out. You can have a conversation with these people, and then a few minutes later, they don't remember it anymore. But when we're there, they remember these songs. They remember some things. They enjoy singing. They enjoy worshiping God in that moment. And in that moment, we can connect with them. There's one lady there. She's really sweet. She's there every week. And when she sees us coming in, she gets the biggest smile and greets us. That's right. She's a sweet lady. Sometimes if you talk to her, you can have a conversation, turn around and come back to her and, oh, hello. She doesn't remember that she just talked to you. She doesn't remember the conversation you had. But she remembers that we come. She remembers and looks forward to it every week. And she'll tell you, we're so glad you come. We love to sing. We love to see the kids you bring. Thank you so much for coming here. We don't have opportunities like this. Jesus. That's connection. I love that, but God loves that. He wants to connect with these people. He wants to connect with people that it's not easy to connect with. He wants to connect with people in your life. Connect with broken people. Connect with the ones that no one else wants to connect with. Do you realize you are surrounded by people that don't really have anyone else to connect with? Now, it can be tempting when we're going out and we're like, okay, I'm going to try and build a church and connect with people and to connect with the important or the influential people, to connect with the popular and the talented people. Man, oh gosh, if I could win him to Jesus, think of all that he could do for the church. Think of all he could do for Christ. Sure, but they have a lot of people to connect with. They've already got a lot of connections. They're valuable to God too. I'm not saying completely ignore them, but don't overlook the people that don't have anyone else to connect with. God humbles the mighty and exalts the lowly. God can do incredible things with broken pieces. God started this church with a piece that the world rejected. And the people in our life, a lot of times you'll see somebody sitting alone on the dart. And I don't know that guy. I don't care about that guy. He looks kind of weird. Connect with him. God knows that guy. God loves that guy. God wants to be a part of that guy's life. If that guy doesn't know Jesus, God desperately wants him to. God has a place for him in his kingdom. God knows all about that guy and wants, has a place picked out just for him. God loves him. Can you connect with him? Can you try? Sometimes we can't. Sometimes it's hard to connect with people. It doesn't work out. But we can try. Try to connect with them. If it doesn't work, then try to connect with somebody else. But God desperately wants to connect with these people around us. And if we look at them and think, they're not really worth the time, they're just a broken piece, I'm going to try and get this guy or my coworker who I've been working on him for a long time. I'm going to, yeah, do that too. But don't overlook these people that have no one else to connect with. You can connect them to the love of God. God loves them. Make sure they know about it. This isn't just like drive-by gospel. We can't just, hey man, God loves you. All right, see you later, bye. We do need to make sure, we want to let everybody know about God's love, but to really connect them to God, it starts with connecting to them. It takes time. It takes effort. Building takes time, but keep building. Hey, what's your name? My name's Marshall. Hey, I saw you're sitting alone over here. You mind if I sit with you? Okay, that's cool. I thought I'd just say hi. Maybe the connection doesn't work, but maybe it does. Maybe they were just waiting for somebody to talk to. Connect with them. Make an effort. Now, it's crucial to remember that everyone is valued by God. Again, I'm not saying we should go look for broken people to the exclusion of everyone else. We're not on a broken person Easter egg hunt where, ooh, there's a really broken piece. I'm going to get that guy. I'm all right? We are called to connect with everybody. And we're not supposed to be like, well, this guy looks really broken. I bet he really needs... hey, guy, man, I've seen some broken people in my life, but you look super broken, so I want to be your friend. That's not good. That's not what we should do. We're called to connect with people, to love them, to be loving toward them. Let your motivation be love. God loves them. Can you love them too? It's crucially important to remember that everyone is valued by God. So don't become prideful. Hey, I got my stuff together. I'm a good Lego piece, but I got to get all these other broken suckers and hook them in because stuff's terrible out there. The church is built out of broken pieces. The thing you have to realize is we are broken pieces. We are all broken pieces. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Again, in 1 Corinthians, Paul puts it this way. He comes out with this list of people who will not inherit the kingdom. Let's see here. We got fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and thieves and the greedy, drunkards, slanderers and swindlers. And such were some of you.
That's right. My God.
That's us. That was us. We're sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're not Mr. Gold. And neither am I. We're broken bricks. But broken Lego pieces can still connect. By God's grace, we connected with Jesus and became a part of this thing that he's building. We became a part of his church. We became a part of this spiritual house. And now, we need to help others become part of it too. We want to welcome them into this. If you are in this place or listening to this message and you haven't really connected to Jesus, he wants to connect with you. Maybe you realize you're broken and you feel like you're not worthy to be part of his kingdom. Let me tell you, he loves you. He forgives you. He has a place just for you and he wants to connect with you. As a broken piece, it's much easier to blend into the crowd if you never really connect to anyone. We're all broken pieces. And it's a lot easier to just sort of try and blend in with all the other Lego pieces. Because from a distance, you can't really see which ones are broken and which ones aren't. Sometimes we can come to church and just kind of blend in, just show up, but never really connect. Because it's when you connect that you find out, it becomes apparent that you're broken.
That's right.
When we connect, our brokenness becomes apparent. But it's when we admit that we are broken that God can begin to heal us. We are all broken. We are all in need of God's forgiveness. At the end of service every week, we open these altars and we invite everyone to come up to the front and talk to God. Spend some time in prayer today. If you have never connected with Jesus before, or maybe you've become disconnected, I encourage you, please come and talk with him. Connect with him today. He wants to connect with you. If you are already connected to him, we can always reconnect and strengthen that connection. Talk to him today about who else you can connect with. Pray for those who don't know him yet. Ask him who else you can connect with. Who in your life needs that connection? Ask him to help you connect. These altars are open. Everyone, please come and talk to God. You can connect with him right here, right now, today.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.